the shofar. It is the music of a ram's horn. It was chosen by Yahweh because the first letter in his title, the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet that brings us his Torah, was drawn in the shape of a ram's horn. Yahweh took the role, accepted the role, of the ram as the leader of his flock. And then he became the sacrificial lamb to remove us from the consequence of death as a result of our rebellion. All of this is a ram's horn. The ram signifies leadership and strength and might. The Hebrew word El begins with this ram's horn, combined with the shepherd's staff of the Lamed. Aleph Lamed. Ram's horn. That haunting call that is made when one blows through the ram's horn is the sign of leadership and of strength. The first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And that is combined then for Yahweh's title of God, El, the Almighty, with a Lamed, a shepherd's staff. That's how it is drawn. The shepherd leads his flock, protects his flock, nourishes his flock, cares for his flock. This is the basis of the very title that Yahweh attributes to himself. That shofar, the ram's horn, is symbolic of teruah. The ram's horn, or shofar, is synonymous with teruah, which is even called trumpets as being synonymous with the instrument and its sound. Teruah speaks of blasting out a warning. Doing what we did in the first 2 hours of this program, exposing the fact that the human political and military and religious leaders are leading people astray, leading them to their doom, that there's a consequence of aligning with them, of believing them, of trusting them, of following them, of aligning oneself with them and their causes, to blast out a warning, get people's attention. You're going in the wrong direction. You're marching off to your own demise. You're squandering your own soul. You're being counterproductive. But the same is true of that ram's horn alerting us to a profound truth that Yahweh is the God represented by that horn. That he and his prophets as troubadours have spoken to humanity to tell us that he created the universe, life, and humankind for the express purpose of a relationship. He calls that relationship a covenant. It's based on the Hebrew word bereth, which is in turn based on bayeth, which happens to be the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. We go from the ram's horn as the first, the Aleph, that sound that you just heard, to Beth, family and home. It is that trumpet which leads us home. It is the sacrificial lamb that provides the doorway to God's home. And all of it, the entire alphabet of Hebrew, and all the 20 letters that follow these first two, everything was all conceived to announce to all of humankind that God is inviting us to come to know him, to engage in his covenant family, to walk to him through the doorway and across the threshold and welcome mat that he has provided to be adopted into his family, to be enriched and empowered by him. So that on this day, Teruah, we could blast that horn, that ram's horn, so that all who would listen could be warned that all manner of human institutions are counterproductive, that they are misleading, that they're unreliable, and that most are the plague of death. But there is an alternative, set apart, unpopular, and yet wholly reliable. A path that is provided to us through the Torah, in the Torah, that guides us to God's home. The path is comprised of 7 steps, of 6 distinct steps that lead to the result, which is the 7th, to camp it out with God. The first 4 have been fulfilled in the 4th millennia of human history by the diminished manifestation of Yahweh himself, Pesach, Matzah, Bukkotim, and Shavuah, where the sacrificial lamb, represented by that Teruah horn, allowed himself to resolve the issue, the consequence of sin, which is death, to make us immortal, opening the doorway to life on Passover. His soul, which is identical to the Hebrew word for breath, nefesh, and it is the breath of man, the soul of man, if you will, that is blown through that trumpet, that shofar that we just heard. The sound is caused by the nefesh, blown through the ram's horn representing God, that enables us to convey this message. It is my nefesh soul that is identified with Yahweh through his Torah as part of his covenant, that emanates out of me and forms my breath, conveying these words which you are listening to, formed the same way that the haunting music that you just heard was blown out of that ram's horn via the nefesh. And it is his soul that went to the place of separation so that our soul on matzah, on unyeasted bread, might appear perfect in God's sight, so that without any flaws or any failings of any kind, without any regrets, we might appear perfect in God's sight, and therefore be adopted into his family on Bukkotim, which is firstborn children. All of which the diminished manifestation of Yahweh fulfilled as Yahusha in year 4000 Yah, which was 33 CE in our pagan calendars, providing 3 of the 5 benefits of the covenant. We were now immortal. Those of us who walked through the doorway, answered the invitation of Passover, who celebrated and observed Matzah, recognizing that Yahusha taught us that the yeast that was being removed represented politics and religion. The very things that the President of the United States was advocating, so that we could be adopted as children into his family. But just as in the human family, a child that never grows up remains a burden on their parents, Yahweh sees to it that we are enriched with his guidance, that we're empowered with his spirit, so that on Shavuah, which is the promise of the Shabbat, the promise of 7, we grow up and can walk side by side with the very creator of the universe. We can reason together, explore together, camp out together. We're now empowered to stand with him. We are educated so that we can converse with him. Well, once we have these benefits, now all 5 of the benefits of the covenant bestowed upon us, then we are in a position to be God's troubadours, So just as you heard the sound of the shofar representing this day, Teruah, we celebrate Teruah by lifting our voices, by sharing Yahweh's path, by communicating his invitations. And on this day, he is inviting those of us who are part of his covenant to speak out a warning and to share the great joy of being part of his family, inviting others to participate, inviting others to walk away from the lies, to embrace the truth. The very purpose of this day, it is a call to God. It is a call away from the world of human myths, human promises. That's what you heard. This day was introduced with the following words. Speak to the children of Yisrael, individuals who persist and persevere, who engage and endure with God, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the renewed moon, there exists a memorial sign of an inheritance rite, Teruah. There's a pattern here with seven. In the seventh month, on the first of the renewed moon, Kodesh, there exists for you all, Haya, there was, there is, and there always will be. Haya as a verb is the basis of Yahweh's name, to exist. For you all, a Shabbaton. A Shabbaton is another inference, another focus on seven. It speaks of a special Sabbath, a day treated like a Sabbath, no matter what day of the week that it falls, a day of rest and reflection on God's promises. When man puts an end to his ordinary work, desisting from it, so that we can focus on our relationship with Yahweh, the Shabbaton. This Shabbaton is a memorial sign, a mental reminder of an inheritance rite. Every one of Yahweh's invitations to meet with him, and Teruah is no exception, is a memorial, a sign, a mental reminder, an official record which keeps us mindful, keeps us recalling and remembering an important aspect of our relationship with God. And so what is the inheritance rite? The covenant is what we inherit, the benefits of the covenant. We inherit immortality, Pesach. We inherit perfection through the covenant. We're adopted into Yahweh's family, Matz and Bakurim. We inherit all that God has to give. The most valuable thing that he has to give is his guidance. And we are enriched with his spirit and empowered by it. We receive through inheritance God's power. We become royal, the sons and daughters of God. The covenant is the source of inheritance. Teruah is a sign, a way to remember that inheritance. So when you recognize that Teruah is the fifth step along the way to camping out with God, what you have to recognize that what God is trying to affirm here is that on this day we should be celebrating, we should be remembering, we should be recalling the benefits of the covenant. This is a time for us to shout for joy about engaging in the covenant. A time for us to provide a warning that there's only one covenant. It comes with five terms and conditions. You either accept them or you are disassociated from it. The terms and conditions for participating in the covenant are first to do exactly as the President of the United States, the opposite of what the President of the United States was requesting, demanding, imposing. walk away from politics and religion and globalization and reliance on man. Walk away from your country. That's the first step. It's a prerequisite to disassociate from religion and politics and militarism, the institutions of man. God's not going to allow that in his home nor in his family because it is the plague of death. It is a horrible cancer. The second is to rely on Yahweh instead. Instead of relying on folks like Obama and his United Nations and his military and his economic policy, God says, if you want to be part of my family, I'm the shepherd. I'm Dad. Turn to me. Rely on me. And in this regard, the third condition is walk to Yahweh and become perfect. There is but one path that is delineated to Yahweh. It is that path that began the Exodus, that begins with Pesach, the doorway to life, across the threshold of cleansing that is matzah, where the stain and stigma of religion and politics and militarism are removed from us, where we disassociate from our country, from the human family, so that we can be reborn spiritually into God's Bereth family, his covenant. That is the path. It goes through the promise of seven, Shavuah, which leads us to this day where we share what we have learned about those things. The fourth condition to participate in the covenant is to know the covenant, to know its terms and conditions, to be aware of them, to observe them, to examine them, to consider them, to do what we're doing right now, to articulate the conditions for participating in the covenant so that others might receive its benefits. And the fifth is, as parents, to show our intent to raise our children to be God's children, we are to circumcise our sons as parents. The outward sign of the covenant separation from the world. Speak for all of you. But I love that song. That's the call. It's the blast played commiserate with the invitations. Today is one of the seven invitations to meet with God. It's an invitation offered to the creation from the Creator. It's an invitation to a party, a festival feast, a grand celebration, not of just life, but of eternal life, not of just hope, but of perfection, not of just association, but adoption, not just of rhetoric, but of edification. Not of just gain, but of empowerment. That is the sound of life, my friends. The sound of an invitation from the very Creator God of the universe, Yahweh. It was His breath that said, speak to the children of Yisrael, those individuals who engage and endure with God, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the renewed moon, there exists Haya. There was, there is, there will always be. For you all, a Shabbaton, a set apart and special day to rest and reflect on God's promises of the plan of seven. The memorial sign and the mental reminder of inheritance right, a Zacharon, called Teruah. Sounding a warning, shouting for joy. The announcement of a healing gateway provided through the melodious sounds of the shofar. A cleansing and set apart Kodesh. Invitation to be called out and meet, a mikra, a summons to gather together for a purpose of meeting, reading, reciting, and being welcomed into God's company. Kara, called out, Leviticus 23:24. We considered a number of the words that were part of this, but I do want to remind you about Zikaron. Zikar is a memorial, a remembrance, and a reminder. It defines the purpose of this invitation to be called out and meet, because each of them are memorials, commemorating and identifying the path to salvation. You don't become immortal on Passover, but on Passover we celebrate what God has done to make us immortal. We don't become perfect on matzah, but matzah exists as a way for us to remember what our God has done for us to perfect us. We aren't adopted and readopted into God's family on each Bukurim. We're adopted the moment we accept the terms and conditions of the covenant. But we celebrate that adoption. We remember that adoption. We share everything we know of that adoption into the covenant on Bukurim. We're empowered and enriched with Yahweh's testimony and with His Spirit every day that we are part of His family. Not just on Shavuah. But on Shavuah is the time that we tell everyone who would listen, young and old, rich and poor, men and women. Goyim and Yehudim. That there is a covenant, that it has conditions, and the benefits are beyond our imaginings, and that we are invited to participate in this family. And so it is that on this day we share all of that. You know, some wrote to Scott this morning and said, you know, are you going to do the show because today is a Shabbaton? And the answer is, of course. The best way to celebrate this day is to share Yahweh's Torah, His teaching, His path, His way. This is how one answers that invitation and engages by blowing that trumpet, that shofar. It's the very thing that God asks us to do on this day. And it is a day that is memorializing the covenant relationship. The third and fourth connotations of Zikaron, beyond to serve to identify our inheritance right, is to convey the idea that it is based on Zakar, which speaks of remembering, having an insight that reminds. Now, the operative word, of course, in this whole statement is the name of the Mikra itself, Teruah. And there's a lot of words that help shape the identity of this. It is, of course, based on Tara, which is a gate or a doorway. Tara is also a gatekeeper, someone who can open a doorway or close it. We're opening that doorway for all who would listen with an open mind right to this moment. You know, the purpose of the Mikra is to call attention to the pathway that leads to Heaven's Gate. Tarupa is healing. That's significant because the operative word behind much of Yahusha's testimony, at least translated into Greek, is euangelion. In Hebrew, it's bashar, beneficial and healing message. Therefore, teruah is an announcement of the healing message of the Torah, a truth that Yahusha often affirmed and himself fulfilled. Toren also begins with the same two initial letters which comprise teruah. And it represents the upright pole onto which a standard is flown. It's designed to make us aware of the fact that Edon, or the upright one of the covenant, is going to honor his mission on an upright pillar that provides the doorway to eternal life. That's what occurred on Pesach, Passover. Especially important, Tabuah designates the yield of a harvest, especially of grain. Now, that's significant for a number of reasons. First, Yahweh has already told us that there are three harvests depicted in the invitations to be called out and meet. The first occurred on first fruits, on Bokurim, on firstborn children, following Yahusha's Passover and on yeasted bread sacrifices. The second commenced on the called out assembly of seven Shabbats, seven Sabbaths, when the set apart spirit adorned the called out assembly of those who had benefited from the initial Moed Mikre in her garment of light, enriching and empowering them. And the third gathering of saved souls was predicted by Yahweh to be consummated on the Mikra of Teruah, making it a future harvest awaiting the ultimate fulfillment, although that fulfillment is going to be so small that most of the world will miss it. 7,000 of us will get the ultimate ride off of this planet, away from its globalization, away from war, away from fear, to a place of ultimate hope in a matter of a dozen years. It will take place on a teruah, one of 12 remaining before the commencement of the tribulation. Tabuna means understanding, insight, and wisdom achieved through logic and reasoning. I'm very fond of this related term because it helps explain why teruah is a Shabbaton rather than a regular Shabbat. The invitation to be called out in meet of trumpets of the shofar is designed to call people's attention to the path to God's home, to encourage us to carefully observe and even scrutinize while logically and rationally considering every word that illuminates every step along the way, as if our lives depended on each of them and every letter that comprised every word. Finally, Taruma means gift, and there is no greater gift than being adopted into God's family, getting the opportunity to live with our Heavenly Father for all eternity. And perhaps that is why Yahusha, at the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount, spoke of his Father's great gift in the context of the Torah and the path to life. Yahweh was putting us on notice that teruah is an essential step in the narrow, restrictive, and unpopular path that leads to life. God is telling us that this is one of the gates that we pass if we want our souls to be gathered by Yahusha during his upcoming spiritual harvest of saved souls. And grain in this story, and the harvest of grain, represents saved souls, those who are separated from the chaff and from the grass of the wheat, of the grain plant. so that it is just the purest, the kernel that is harvested. Now, coupled with Ruah, Ruah means to signal a warning or alarm, to cry out and to shout. We have God trying to get people to notice that He has opened a door through which souls can be harvested. Collectively, these concepts help define the purpose of this Mikra and point to an understanding of Teruah itself, symbolically, as we have shared. The approach of Teruah is announced by the blast of a ram's horn, a trumpet known as a shofar. You've heard it now several times in this program. This shofar was designed to signal an alarm to people and to announce an important event, to proclaim news, to assemble people for movement, and to blast out a joyous sound and celebration of something wonderful. The instrument itself is comprised of the horn of a male lamb. It serves as a metaphor for many things and helps us correlate the promises regarding this day, trumpets, Teruah, with the very nomenclature that Yahweh has associated with it. So based upon what we know, Teruah is all about boldly and publicly calling out to people in such a way that those near and far hear the healing message and receive Yahweh's merciful gift, so that they're aware that an inheritance is being offered, that they're being invited to be called out and meet with God. Along these lines, the verb upon which Teruah is based, Ruah, depicts screaming out a message, which is designated to mobilize people, to invoke passion, to excite them, even alarm them, but most importantly, to arouse them to be aware of a great wonder and triumph of good news and the consequence of ignoring it. Therefore, it shouldn't be surprising that Yeshayahu's, Isaiah's, presentation of Teruah in the context of the last days concludes by emphasizing the importance of raising our voices, like that sound of that shofar, to call all of Yisrael home. Teruah is as much about providing a warning as it is about rejoicing. And that is because Teruah produces a great divide. On this day, all of Yahweh's Yehudim will be called, gathered together, and lovingly removed from the world by Yahweh. Now, there will be about 7,000 of us who are members of the covenant family on this day that will receive this ride of a lifetime. I hope you will join us. I hope that you will be one of us. I would love to share eternity with you. But you don't want to miss this ride, because while it is still possible for those who miss this marvelous day and the harvest of this day to end up in God's family, the hell that you will have to endure over the next 7 years as the world tries to ostracize you, tortures you, torments you, criticizes you for being a cynic of all that it will propose, will make that time miserable. But this is a time for rejoicing, because those of us who are leaving are going to a far better place. And yet most people will be left behind. So this is the divide. It's a harvest of souls that have engaged in the covenant. When the first Israelites heard the word Teruah, they would have immediately conjured up the image of Yahweh's representatives raising a ram's horn trumpet, the shofar, and blowing a blast to signal something, which was essential for them to know. The air they blew into the instrument symbolized our soul, as the Hebrew word for soul, nefesh, as I have shared with you, means breath. On this day, some souls will be jubilant with Yahweh in heaven, and others will be warned that they missed this ultimate escape. It is also interesting that the sound of this blast is carried by the wind in the atmosphere. And the Hebrew word for wind is ruach, spirit. Now, the wind instrument itself, as I've shared, is a ram's horn, with ram symbolizing the Lamb of God and horn representing his power and authority. And the fact that these shofars were used as trumpets was important, too, because the references to teruah harvest speak of souls and speak of trumpets being used to announce the harvest. So as we continue with this, the last word may be the most important. It is Mikra. And this Mikra is called Kodesh, or set apart, setting us apart from the world and unto God, with Mikra being an invitation to be called out of the world and to meet with the very creator of the universe. Join us on this day. May God bless you all.